Hey guys, and welcome back to the Killer Crime Podcast. My name is Martha, and today we're going to be discussing a case of a girl who goes camping and then vanishes. So where is Madison Scott? Madison Scott was described by her friends and family as being very funny, life of the party kind of gal, and super well-rounded. She loved dirt biking, water sports, and photography. Her friends and family adored her, and her teachers just loved her. She lived in a town called Vanderhoof, which is in British Columbia, with her parents and her siblings. So she was unfortunately just 20 years old at the time of her disappearance. On the night of May 27th, 2011, Maddie and her friend Jordy decide last minute that they were going to go to a party by Hogsback Lake. Now, Hogsback Lake is a campground located southeast of Vanderhoof. I googled how long it would take to get from Vanderhoof to this campground, Hogsback Lake, and it's about a 20-22 minute drive. So I'm not really sure how fast Maddie drives, but 20 minutes, we'll say. So this party was for a guy named Garrett who was turning 25, and tons of people were invited. He put the invite out on Facebook, and it was just an open invitation for anyone who wanted to go. So it ended up there were about 40 people that would go to this party. So Maddie and her friend Jordy took two of Maddie's tents to camp with. They packed up some booze and personal items along with sleeping bags, pillows, and everything that they would need for a super fun night away. So they put all of it in Maddie's white 1990 Ford F-150 pickup truck. And I know nothing about cars. I just Googled that and that's what came up. Just a white truck. And they made their way to the campground. So they arrived and they started setting up their tent. Remember, they'd taken two with them. So they start setting one of them up, and it turns out that was the smaller one. So as one would, they moved on to the next one, which was the larger one, only to realize that Maddie had forgotten her tent poles. So she has to drive all the way. We've all done it. She has to drive all the way back to her house. I mean, that being said, it's only 20 minutes. To grab her poles and then drive all the way back to Hogsback Lake. So she makes the trip back, she grabs the poles, and when she comes back, her and her mom just have a little chat, like, oh, what's up? And she's like, I forgot my poles, blah, blah, blah. And her mom just says goodbye and I'll see you the next day. Her mom said in an interview later on that Maddie seemed fine, there was nothing wrong with her, she was simply just coming back to collect her poles. So Maddie heads back to the campground, and it would be around 10 p.m. that she arrives back, and the girls start to set up the bigger tent. So people start drinking and partying and having a really fun time. It's sort of unclear to me what exactly was going down, but what confuses me about this case is that it appears that Maddie didn't ever really leave her tent, because remember I said she arrived back to Hogsback Lake around 10 p.m., but she was texting her mom at around 11:30 p.m. saying that she was in her tent and they were just talking about a song, and Maddie's mom said goodnight and that she would see her the next day. So I don't really know exactly what Maddie was up to. But outside of the tent, Jordy had said that a rowdy group showed up. I can't really find out any more information as to who these people are, but she said it was just a ratty group. I'm assuming a group of people that just nobody really wanted there. So they show up, and the age difference between the partygoers is kind of strange, because some of the people, like Maddie, are 20 years old, Garrett's 25, and the oldest age there is 40. So there's a wide variety of people that have shown up to this party, which just seems weird to me. This whole situation, and it just doesn't make any sense to me. But anyways, I digress. We will keep going. So Jordy claimed that at some point during the night, a fight broke out between her and a group of people. Don't know which group of people this is. Is this the rowdy group of people she was talking about? I'm really not sure. I can't find it anywhere. But she gets pushed into the fire. Now, this isn't anything too detrimental. She never went to the ER, and she was even able to go to work the next day. So I think she was fine, but it did cause her to want to leave. She didn't want to stay there anymore. She wanted to leave the campground and go home. So she goes up to Maddie and she's like, Maddie, like, I was just pushed in the fire. And she also said that she was too drunk. On one account, she said she told Maddie that she was pushed into the fire. On another account, she said to Maddie that she was too drunk. So I'm really unsure. It's probably both. But either way, she wanted to leave. She wanted to go with her boyfriend who was sober and she had just gotten with that night. And Maddie begged her to stay. Maddie was like, no, please don't go. I want you to stay. And Jordy, of course, just left anyways. Now, what's strange is when Jordy left, she said there was about 5 people that were left to camp with Maddie. So remember, there were 40 people at this party and like 35 of them left. So I don't know if it was everybody's plan to show up to this party and camp out, but it certainly was Maddie and Jordy's. So this whole night just started to completely fall apart. So the next day, the next morning on the Saturday, Jordy and her boyfriend Tyler went back before 9 a.m. to get Jordy's sleeping bag and her pillow. When she arrived, Maddie wasn't in the tent. She did mention that Maddie's sleeping bag and her pillow were completely shoved off to the side of the tent, but that's all she really noticed. So she saw the truck, she checked the surrounding area to see if Maddie was anywhere, but just assumed she'd gone for a walk. Maddie's been to this campground before. She knows the area better than Jordy does. So Jordy just goes on her way and goes to work. Now, around 10 or 10:30 that morning, the birthday boy goes, remember Garrett, the 25-year-old, goes back to Hogsback Lake to clean up. He has his birthday at Hogsback Lake every single year, and he always goes back just to make sure that, you know, it's not left a dump. But he says he goes back and he sees her tent, her truck, but again, no Maddie. So around mid-morning, Maddie's mom had been trying to contact her and it just kept going to voicemail. There was such bad reception at Hogsback Lake and Maddie's mom knows this. So while she's a bit concerned, she's not overly worried because she knows that it's probably just bad reception and Maddie's probably just having fun. So this is where, not that this isn't already weird, but this is where it gets even weirder. On the Saturday night, there is a party of about 150 people, and they're literally all just partying around Maddie's truck and her tent. All her belongings are still in her truck, all of her expensive camping gear, her booze, everything. It's all still in her tent, but everyone's just partying around it and having a really good time. Now, you know, as much as it was weird, at the same time, if I showed up to a party and there was about 150 people there and there was a truck and a tent, I'd probably just think it belonged to one of the party goers. So I'm like sure that's probably what people were thinking when they showed up. They probably didn't think twice about it. So that is the Saturday night. So Sunday morning rolls around and Maddie's mom is worried. She's like, okay, this is weird. We haven't had any contact with her. This isn't normal. I need to find out what happened. So Maddie's mom calls Jordy's mom and Jordy's mom's like, what? Like, Jordy's been back since yesterday morning and she even went to work. So Maddie's mom's like, oh no, okay. All right. I'm going up there and I'm going to go and check. I need to find my daughter. So her and Maddie's dad drive up to Hogsback Lake and, you know, they show up, they're looking around like everybody else. They find her tent, which is now flattened, by the way, and they find her truck, all her belongings, except for obviously Maddie, except her cell phone and except her car keys. So everything's still there except for those three things. So they're looking around, they're trying to find her, they can't find her anywhere. Maddie's mom stopped every single car that drove through Hogsback Lake that day and asked if they'd seen Maddie. Everybody said no. She was just like beside herself. So there are four sections of Hogsback Lake to camp in. There's a private owned site by a man who is completely comfortable with people just camping on his private property. He doesn't really mind. There's a main site where Maddie was camping. There's campsite 2, and there's a section called the Tarzan Swing. So Maddie's parents found some of Maddie's friends at this site, and they had been there since Saturday afternoon. They tell her that they did see Maddie's tent and her truck on Saturday afternoon, but not Maddie. So Maddie's mom then calls the cops, and they started a search. So the cops show up, and you know, they're searching around, and this, you know, as much as this is a really sad case, it's so nice because the entire community showed up to try and find Maddie. There were people on foot walking every inch of the campground from when it got light outside in the morning to when it got dark. They were there and they were searching. People in the community with boats showed up with sonar systems to check the lake to see if her body was there. And people with helicopters even showed up to do like a bird's eye view surveillance of the place to see if they could find anything. But nothing. Maddie's parents said they were so confident that if Maddie or her body was in Hogsback Lake, like the campground area, or the actual lake itself, that they would have found her. So the investigation continues, and everybody at the party on the Friday night and the Saturday night were polygraphed. The police found everybody, and they all passed this polygraph. They even polygraphed people who had spoken to Maddie like 2 weeks before she went missing. So everybody passed. They have no leads, and Maddie's just vanished. She's just completely gone from the face of the earth. It's just bizarre to me. So upon this investigation, the police found out that everybody had left Maddie to camp by herself. Everybody. Remember I told you about how when Jordy left, there were still 5 people there? Well, those 5 people left as well. And Maddie was left to camp completely by herself. She was seen around 3 a.m., 3 to 4 a.m. I've seen a few different times come through with the last time she was ever seen on that Saturday morning. And that was the last time that she was ever seen. So I don't know why everybody left. I don't know what happened. I don't know if other people were planning to camp out. It's such a tough situation, you know? So let's talk about theories. So there's a couple of different theories as to where Maddie is or what happened to her or who was involved. And a name that comes up time and time again, literally, guys, like any YouTube video you watch, anything you read about this, the name that comes up from people is Jordy. People just can't wrap their heads around the fact that she would just leave her friend. However, I don't think Jordy had anything to do with this. She and Maddie hadn't actually hung out for 2 years, like prior. They graduated high school and then 2 years go by and they hadn't hung out. I think they spoke a bit, but I don't think they'd hung out. Well, they hadn't. Her mom confirmed they hadn't hung out. And then they go on this camping trip. So they're not exactly close. And Jordy's probably not really thinking about Maddie's safety. I think she was super drunk, pushed in this fire. She'd just gotten with her boyfriend that night and wanted to be with him. And it was just unfortunate that something happened to Maddie. Now, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm still shocked that she would just leave another human being to camp by herself, especially another girl. But it happens. I went camping once and I went clubbing and with 6 of my friends, and all 6 of them left me. All 6 of them left me in the city. I couldn't believe it. And I had to get in a taxi and I was kicked out that taxi and these like druggies helped me get home. It was a situation. That is a whole other podcast. That is a close call podcast. And but the point is, people do really dumb things when they're young and when they're drunk. They don't think about the consequences. They don't think about what could happen. They're just thinking about themselves and what they want to do. So I don't think Jordy had anything to do with it. I think it was just an unfortunate mistake that she'd made that led to this. And I think there's a, you know, people are like, oh, in all these interviews, she just seems super suspicious. And I think she just feels an immense amount of guilt for leaving her friend. So I don't think she had anything to do with it. Now, another really interesting oh, and I forgot to mention that Jordy also passed the lie detector test. Anyways, another theory. I'm going to keep this one kind of brief because he was ruled out as a suspect, but it was just really interesting. There was a guy named Fribjon, it's Fribjon and then Bjornson. So I'm just going to say Bjornson, his last name, just because I feel more comfortable saying that. But he was a cocaine addict and he was described by Jordy as bad news. So one night he was partying on a reserve and he was taken down to the basement of this party and he was killed. His severed head was found in a cabin and the rest of his body was never found. But you know, Bjornson and Maddie were friends and Bjornson's death only happened 10 months after Maddie went missing. So people are wondering if Maddie was involved in some sort of drug something and you know, she was taken and Bjornson was killed because of, you know, to teach them a lesson or like, I don't really know, but that is just a really interesting theory. It's just interesting how close his death happened to her disappearance. So Maddie's mom really wants people to know that this isn't part of the Highway of Tears case. I will be talking about the Highway of Tears case in another episode, but it's basically where, like, I think about 40. There's, like, 16 confirmed cases. I think the number 16. But indigenous people say that it's way more, about closer to 40. So they went missing on this section of the Trans-Canada Highway called the Highway of Tears, where since the 90s, people have been vanishing. And the larger number of people going missing were Indigenous women. They were the main sort of victim in the Highway of Tears cases. And that section of the highway does have an easy entrance into Hogsback Lake. But I, you know, with the Highway of Tears cases, it's mainly because they were walking along the Highway of Tears and mainly hitchhiking. So I don't know if somebody would literally walk off the Trans-Canada, like park their vehicle, walk off the Trans-Canada Highway and walk into Hogsback Lake and just take somebody. I don't know how likely that is, but Maddie's mom really just wants people to know that this isn't part of that case. Just because, you know, if it's part of that case, it's implying that someone random did it, but they're trying to say they think it's somebody that Maddie knew that did it. So guys, that is the case of Madison Scott. She is still missing to this day. She would be about 28, turning 29 this year. So it's been a long time. Her family, they go on a walk. It's like this walk through Hogsback Lake every single year, and they are still searching for her. So if you're in the BC area, if you know anything, any tips, call Crime Stoppers and let them know. Even if you're like, I don't think this guy, call them anyways, because it could be something. So I hope you guys enjoyed today's case. Not that you can enjoy a story about a girl who goes camping and then vanishes, but remember to be loud, be fierce, and don't talk to killers.